Well, we're going to continue chatting with John Murphy, of course, author of Miracle Minded Manager, but we'll also take your calls this hour. It'll go by fast, so make the call, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, John Murphy with us, of course. John, where do people get your book?
Oh, they can get it anywhere books are sold. Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. It's even at Walmart, Target. The publisher's Beyond Words. They can go to their website and get it. And I just found out, George, it's being licensed now in China and Romania.
Oh, my gosh.
I was featured last week over in Frankfurt, Germany at the big international book convention, and got a lot of attention, especially internationally. So that's exciting.
If you were speaking to a class of kids, 15-year-old kids, let's say, how would you motivate them to talk to them about miracles?
Well, I'd start by asking them questions like, what do you think a miracle is, and have you witnessed any? It's interesting because a lot of times young kids are much more perceptive and aware of things like that than older folks are. And I'll never forget when he's 31 years old now, but my son, Ben, when he was 3 years old, he told his mother and I that he picked us to be his parents. But he had to let his sister Kate go first. Where's that coming from?
I like that. He was probably right.
It's incredible. Well, you know, that's another thing. A lot of people are trained to think that life is linear, like there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, it's like the alphabet, A, B, C, D. But in fact, when you stop and you look at the world around us, everything's cyclical. Everything's circular. It's karmic. So we have day and night, day and night. Right now, yeah, I'm in Michigan where I'm a gardener, so I'm cleaning up a lot of my gardens, and you know, cutting the flowers down, the perennials down, and they look pretty darn dead. But guess what? In the spring, they're going to be
they'll pop back
again.
They will pop back.
Yeah. So when we start thinking about the seasons and the cyclical nature of nature, why wouldn't life be the same way? Why wouldn't we come here for a period of time, have an experience, and return to where we came from? You know, the whole that whole idea of reincarnation. So I'm fascinated by that.
Did it take you a long time to learn this system, technique?
Well, I'm still learning it. It's taken me, I'll be 60 on my next birthday, so it's taken me at least that long. But it's also been an experience of experiences. You know, I mentioned earlier that I liked playing football. I was a competitive football player through high school and college. And but I was told in high school, especially at 17 years old, George, we just won the state championship in Michigan, played in the old Pontiac Silverdome.
Oh, remember it well.
Yeah, and I was elected captain and quarterback for the upcoming year. And that summer, in one of my many entrepreneurial businesses as a kid, one of which was a lawn landscaping business, I ran my foot through a lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Spent a week in the hospital, two major surgeries, over 10 hours in the OR, getting my foot reconstructed. And the doctor, after all of that, a renowned orthopedic surgeon, said, I'm sorry, son, but your football days are over. You're never going to play again. You'll be lucky to walk without limping. And I was shocked and shook. And I cried. This is that suffering that we do go through from time to time. And but my grandfather sent a book through my mother, and it was a book on courage. And one of the stories in the book was on Rocky Blyer. And Rocky was
I remember him.
Yeah, he was told the same thing after a devastating injury in Vietnam in the war, and he was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the time. Never actually played for the Steelers yet when he got drafted to Vietnam. Now he's sent home and said, you'll never play again. You'll find something else to do. And I'll never forget this story. Rocky said, no, I don't believe that. And this is the power of mind over matter. He said, I will play again. And long story short, Rocky went on to win four Super Bowls. You know, he became one of the fastest guys on the Pittsburgh Steelers, starting running back behind, you know, Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw. Absolutely remarkable story. And here's this 17-year-old kid sitting in the hospital, me, with a, you know, similar injury, just a devastated foot, and that's where Rocky had a foot injury and shrapnel and gunfire in his hamstring, things like that. And so I just remember vividly thinking to myself, I'm not going to agree with the expert, in this case, the doctor. I'm not going to agree that I'm done. And 2 years later, I was playing at Notre Dame. Happens to be the same school Rocky graduated
from. That's right. That's right.
And by, you know, talk about synchronicity. Years later, I'd written a book called Reinvent Yourself, and I was on stage with Rocky Blyer and Zig Ziglar and some other greats. And I told Rocky that story. I said, you know, you're in the inspiration business, and you inspire a lot of people around the world. But guess what? A lot of times when you're in that business, you don't know what impact you've had on people. So let me give you one example. And I told him, me. And he was like, wow, would you introduce me with that story? This is about 1,500 people. I said, I'd love to. And so I did. It was really cool.
Well, I bet you brought the house down with that.
Oh, well, you know, but it's touching. And there's an example of a miracle, so to speak, whatever you know, it's a shift. A Course in Miracles defines a miracle as a shift in perception. It's a different way of looking at things. It's a different way of looking at yourself. It's a different way of looking at another person or the world that you're in. And that shift away from the ego, fear-based, dualistic, right, wrong, us, them system to what we talked about earlier, atonement, a unified existence. We're all in this together, and that's where forgiveness comes in and is so important. We're all connected by this energy called love, capital L love. It's not temporary. It's eternal. It's unconditional. It's this field of energy that we share. When we get into that mode, that mindset, everything looks different. Everything looks beautiful. And it's so important, George, because when people live in fear, especially collectively, a collective consciousness, they fuel the very thing that they're afraid of, whether it's a forest fire, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a terrorism. They fuel the very thing that they're afraid of. And that's why this is so important in this world today. It's because if we continue as a society, as a culture, as a country, as a world, to worry and stress and fear, whatever it is, we're asking for more of it. That's devastation just staring us in the face.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Paul in Boston, Mass. To get us started. Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wow, what a show.
Thank you.
I have a miracle story for you, but I just wanted to make one quick comment.
Sure.
My father, who was a First World War Navy veteran, he always said, every day is an adventure. And he had a tough life before, during, and after the service. But he always said, every day is an adventure. And, you know, I kind of look through rose-colored glasses sometimes, and I made every day an adventure when I could, and it seems to work. But my sister-in-law was passed away. She finally got pregnant. And she was about 3 months pregnant, and the doctor told her that she had a growth in the womb and so forth.
Yeah.
And he had sent for a oncologist to look at it, and they both agreed that it was cancerous. And she had waited so long to have a baby, she says, no, no, no. She had a great faith in the Blessed Mother and Mother Elizabeth Ann Seton. You know, she's Catholic. And she said, no, they're going to pull me through. And she fought them bitterly. And these were two good Catholic doctors that didn't want to do an abortion, but they said, this is going to be when we're going to have to give you a radical hysterectomy and the child will be aborted. There's no question. We got to do this now. She fought them off and fought them off. So they get to about 7 months and a couple of days short of the 8th month, and she's having a problem, and they have to take her. And absolutely spontaneous delivery. There was nothing, no tumor. It was just a remains of gelatinous substance. That's all it was there, and they couldn't figure it out. When she went in the delivery room, they had a, they had, you know, the OBGYN, and they had a cancer specialist, and that was, there was nothing there.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean,
thank God.
I was in a hospital 10 years ago, and I had the glass rites twice.
Really?
Yeah, and, well, it's a strange disease. It's called Wegener's.
You bounce back, my friend. Well, what's your question? Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to let you know that there is such things as miracles.
Oh, no question about that. It does happen. It
That's
does happen.
Great story, John, Bob. Thank you, yes.
And you know that, you know that firsthand. First time caller, let us go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Jilton's with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Yes, sir. I have a question related to karma. Can we change the karma? I mean, I thought we're supposed to pay off our due. So if we can change it, another question is B, is like how are we paying off our dues if we are changing
good,
the karma?
Good, couple of good questions there, John. Can you change your karma? And if you do, what does that have to do with your basically paying off your dues?
Well, it's essentially what changing your karma is. It's paying off your debt. So the answer is, of course you can. You know, we've got, we reap what we sow. So if we've been in the past sowing negative reactions, negative results, and let's just say negativity, how do we change that? We shift to positive. You know, we have to balance it out. It's like paying off your bills. So you've got this weight, these heavy bills that you're dealing with. You've got this heavy relationship, this heavy lifestyle, this heavy whatever it is you're carrying around with you. Of course you can change it. Otherwise, you're what Bruce Lipton would call a victim consciousness. You're saying, oh, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm doomed. I'll tell you what, again, born Friday the 13th, Murphy's Law, two near-death experiences by the age of three. If I went through, and I did think I was doomed, and I was waiting for the next axe to fall, so to speak, the next thing that would happen. And then, you know, lo and behold, you know, 17 years old, I run my foot through a lawnmower. It's like, here we go again. And I've had all kinds of doom and gloom because subconsciously I think I expected it. Karmically, I was asking for it. So I had to make a shift, and that's what you're asking about. It's a karmic shift from repeating and re-sowing the same seeds and getting the same results to sowing different seeds, different thoughts, different beliefs, a shift in belief. And that's the miracle. It's a shift in perception. When we make that shift, we wipe our debts clean. We wipe our karmic debts away. And life is different. It's beautiful.
Sure is. Next up, we go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the program, Wayne.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Good evening, John. From Michigan. You're in Michigan right now.
Yes, I'm in Michigan right now.
Right. I'm from Michigan. Marquette, Michigan.
Are you on a speaker, Wayne, or what?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Not well, no.
Okay, let me go this way. Okay, I got it cleared up for you. Sorry, George.
There you go.
There. Is that better?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I was just saying that the family's from Michigan, Petoskey, and also Marquette. In fact, you mentioned Zig Ziglar a little while ago, and When I was in college, I was selling Marquette stereos from Marquette, Michigan, and Zig Ziglar was our inspirational speaker for that, the company up in Seattle that did that. So anyway, miracles. You're talking about miracles, and I have a miracle story. Back in 1966, May of 1966, I'd just gotten out of the Air Force a month before. I was going up to the mountains with a friend of mine, and at the last minute, he bombed out on me, so I ended up going up to the mountain alone myself, up to Lake Constance on Mount Constance in the Olympic Mountains in Washington State. Got up on the top of the mountain in just a few hours, a 7 mile climb up a pretty steep hill, and I met a couple on the way up there. They gave me a fish, put it in my backpack. I was going to eat it that night, but at the it was getting cold, and darkness was falling quick. And as I got up there, I noticed there was ice all over the lake, except for right in the middle area. And there was ice all over the land, except for one spot around a tree that was right on the edge that you could look down on the lake. And this one spot had about 30-foot diameter of clear ground. And so I tied up my backpack onto the tree with fish in it. Didn't want animals getting into it. And I wasn't really prepared for this. Didn't even bring a tent or anything. I just had a light sleeping bag, down bag. But it was very cold, and I just decided to get in my bag with all my clothes on, got in my bag, laid down, started to go to sleep. And George has heard this before. He's asked me about this noises. Clomp, clomp, clomp of goats. There was wild mountain goats, rams, I should say, because they had the horns on, all around me, about 15 or 20 of them. And so I just stuck my head out, saw what it was, and these are really shaggy. They were losing their hair, shaggy looking. I yelled and screamed, and they ran off. And I thought that would be it. Well, no. Every 5 minutes, the whole night long, they'd come back, and I had to yell every 5 minutes, and I thought I'd get some sleep. No sleep all night long. As soon as dawn broke, about 5 a.m. or so, you know, I got up out of the bag, stuffed it in my backpack, started trotting down the hill, you know, stumbling, and finally got down to my car, twisty road down to the main road, so that kept me awake. But as soon as I got on the main highway, nicely smooth, paved highway, I fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh.
You know, and I was headed towards the Puget Sound. There's a several 100-foot drop off down to the Puget Sound, but that was the first year they put the little yellow bumps in the middle of the road, and my tires went bump, 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 and that woke me up enough to say, Jesus, you're going to have to help me get home.
That was your miracle, my friend. Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with John Murphy and take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, the name of his book, Miracle Minded Manager. On our next Coast to Coast program, hacker Kevin Mitnick joins us to talk about the art of invisibility, just how to avoid being hacked. And then our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us for a couple hours of incredible stories that she has been working on. And don't forget Ghost to Ghost on Thursday night, Halloween night. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with our final segment here of John Murphy. His book is Miracle Minded Manager. What's next on your plate, John? What's your next project?
The publisher's already asked me to start writing a book called Miracle Minded Entrepreneur.
So
I'm working on that. I also write quite a few articles, George. So if people just Google the term Miracle Minded, I think I've probably written 10 related articles for different publications just in the last couple of months. So there's some, you know, short, free, available information out there on how to apply. For example, how do you apply it to back-to-school stress? How do you apply it to stressing about an illness or a loved one that's ill? How do you apply it to a hurricane? I was down in on the beach in Palm Beach when Dorian was
Lucked out there, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, and unlike a lot of people running for the hills and evacuating and getting scared and nervous, I was literally out on the beach talking to Dorian saying, hey, dude, calm down.
You know, we did the same thing. We did what we call an intention experiment where we pushed it. And unfortunately, I think we pushed it right into the Bermuda area. But we missed Florida.
I don't say go somewhere else, destroy somewhere else. I say, Dorian, calm down. But was that part of Noetic Sciences? You mentioned you had...
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
Sure.
Since you've been doing this, have you seen a change for yourself personally?
Oh, massive. Totally massive. Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you just how powerful these laws, these universal laws and principles are. So, yeah, I've seen just all kinds of things. You know, George, I stopped writing in the year 2000, and the year 2000, because my father got deathly ill and finally passed. I was halfway through a book, and I stopped writing.
Sure, I get it.
And just lost interest. You know, so I went on, and I continued my consulting and speaking engagements, things like that. 2009, I'm over in Lyon, France, doing a week-long project for a client, and it was followed a week later by a week-long project up in the London area in England. And I got up on a Saturday morning, so I had a weekend to burn in between the 2 weeks. Got up on a Saturday morning, and was typically I'd just go out and wander around, look at cathedrals, you know, practice my French. Anyway, there was an energy, a presence, I don't know how to describe it, in my room on Saturday morning, commanding me to start writing again. And meanwhile, I was right in the middle of taking A Course in Miracles for the first time. And so I resisted. I was like, I don't know what to write about, and I don't want to write, and I don't want to start something I won't finish, because I already did that. So here's the subconscious mind replaying itself. And but long story short, I gave up. Debating with this energy, and I opened up my laptop and said, you want me to write? You tell me what to write. I wrote all weekend. I started channeling a book that went on to win the best inspirational book of 2010 called Beyond Doubt, 4 Steps to Inner Peace.
Good for you.
And it was a move for me from traditional business leadership, team building type books, customer service type stuff, to inspirational work. I mean, this book, in fact, when I go back and reread it, it blows my mind. And so that was a major shift in my life, a major transformation, and it actually prepared me for one of the darkest moments I've ever been through, which is a divorce. I was married for 26 years to my first wife, and I absolutely loved my life, my children, 4 children together, and in 2009. While I was writing this book, she announced that she wanted to go another way, and it was heartbreaking, so to speak. And yet this book and the 4 Steps to Inner Peace helped me through that. So it's almost like it was a premonition.
Your own therapy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and you asked earlier in the show too, so writing for me, it is a form of therapy. It's also a way for me to, in a sense, write my own script in life. Because by writing and channeling positivity through my characters, through my writing, I experience it. It's like I'm calling for it in my own life by sharing it with everyone else.
Back to the calls, Thomas in La Jolla, California. Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. And John, great information. You know, John, I was fascinated with your discussion on David Hawkins, and as George Norrie says, there are no coincidences. Funny thing, I was listening earlier to one of David Hawkins' lectures on personal will as opposed to serving the highest good, serving the will of God. And what David Hawkins said in this lecture was that if you try to accomplish things by your personal will, oftentimes you do not have the horsepower, so to speak, to accomplish. Whereas if you surrender, and the key word is surrender to the will of God, if you surrender to the highest good, then all of a sudden you are placed in the space, his words, not mine, you're placed in the space of unlimited miracles. And then he proceeded in this lecture to give numerous corporate and business examples of how this was done. And it appears that the personal will takes tactics and strategies, and you have to force things, whereas surrender to the will of God is doing nothing and places you into the space of miracles. And I was curious if you encountered that with the teachings of David Hawkins, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Thomas. It's spot on, and it's what I like to call getting into flow. And the flow isn't something we generate independently, individually, with the personal will. It's aligning with thy will be done, not my will be done. And I just think of numerous business examples of this. I'll give you one real quick, and it's Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach not just businesses to write clear mission statements where they can get aligned and generate positive energy and synergy, but personal mission statements. I often challenge people, have you written a personal mission statement? And a good mission statement is essentially, we've all been given gifts, and a good mission statement is whatever gift it is we've been given is intended to be given. So we've been given something to give. So Walt Disney's personal mission statement years ago was to use my imagination to bring happiness to millions. Just stop and think about the power in that statement. To use my gift, in his case, my imagination, to bring joy and happiness to millions of people. Do you think he did it? No question about it. Do you think he did it all by himself? Of course not.
No, he had a team.
He had a team, but he had not just a human team.
That's right. Exactly. Let's go to our international caller, Katie in Tokyo. Hello, Katie. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. I'm enjoying this, too.
Thank you.
And this really piggybacks nicely off of what the last caller just talked about. I really enjoy doing new moon rituals where I just sit down, give thanks for the last new moon period, and then write out what I want, what I want to manifest and focus on and visualize, let the month go and then see what unfolds. Well, just this last new moon period, which just ended, so a new one's begun, I did something different. I surrendered and I just said, no, this new moon period, I'm just going to say abracadabra, and I'm just going to have things come to me. And so things would come, like a gift, a bottle of wine. I said, wow, abracadabra. I'd monkey chain to the every stop I needed when I was running really tightly. And boom, abracadabra, magic. And just this last Sunday, as it was ending, I was on vacation, and the hotel had this campaign where you hit this wheel, and I hit 777 and got a $50 gift voucher.
There you go.
That's what the whole month was. But in the middle of all of this, something had just happened, and I went, ooh, abracadabra, magic. And then I caught my breath and went, oh, love. Oh, this is love. Because my heart, when I started this whole new moon period this last month, was open, joyous, receptive. I was just delighting in every single day of what kind of magic would come. And when I just went from, oh, abracadabra, magic, love, I just exploded inside.
Yeah, well, I love the idea of letting go or surrendering, as you put it. And in fact, the four steps to inner peace that I write about in Beyond Doubt, another one of my books, are the four steps are let be, let go, let see, and let flow. And what that means quickly is let be present, be here, be now, be awake, be aware, be meditative, be contemplative. Let go of all of the distractions. Let go of all of the emotional baggage weighing you down. Let go of the ego thought system and the fear and the doubt and the anxiety and the guilt and the grievances, and et cetera. And when we let go, we see things so differently. That's the let see phase. And when we start to see the world differently and we start to expect positive outcomes and we can feel them in our heart, we get into the fourth step, let flow. And the flow is the Tao. It's the great current. It's these miraculous experiences that we have. And I'll give you one very quick example. I was, as I was writing Beyond Doubt, and I was going through this very painful divorce, 26 years of marriage, and I was hurt. living in this little apartment without any furniture, sleeping on the floor. And I lit some candles one night, and I put on some music, and I started dancing around to Andrea Bocelli and getting into a good zone, getting into a good flow, letting go and surrendering. And because I knew that was the only thing I really had any control over. So rather than feel, you know, scared or lonely or grieving or even angry, I just let go and let flow. And the next thing you know, the phone rings, and it's a guy I met just at a conference in Cincinnati a few months earlier, happened to meet him. And he said to me, "What are you doing on May 13th? I said, "Wow, May 13th, seriously? I said, "I'm turning 50. It happens to my birthday." I'm like, how in the world did he know that? Well, he didn't. But he said, "Hey, I got tickets to go see the Dalai Lama on May 13th, and I thought of you, that you might want to go." So how about that? I went and saw the Dalai Lama on my 50th birthday.
That's cool. Did you get a chance to talk to him?
I didn't. No, he's completely surrounded by security and, you know, his entourage and everything. But he was actually lecturing on the Heart Sutra, which is the wisdom of emptiness, of letting go, to the very point of surrender, letting go. And it was perfectly timed for me. There's the miracle. I had to learn to let go of my ex-wife. I had to let go of that life and move on. And it just filled my heart with joy and appreciation and gratitude. So I have absolutely no hard feelings whatsoever about the situation. I'm thankful for the years that we did have together and the kids and everything else. So I feel nothing but gratitude, George.
That's great. Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, John. I want to go through two things quickly. One was I was thinking about the story of Jonah, where the fate of a massive city pivoted on one individual, Jonah. You know, when you were mentioning, you said to the massive hurricane, calm down. And he said, you know, millions of people are reading your books. How really one person could be a pivot point. But I also wanted to ask you about consciousness. Like you said, okay, you were a high school football, college football player, a star. But that had a lot to do with your consciousness in Michigan or Ohio, a state like that where football is a big deal. Like, if you were someplace else, maybe that athletic ability would have been channeled into golf, tennis, or if you were in Ireland, soccer. So what's or if you look at a corporation, you look at, for example, Blockbuster, why weren't they equal to Netflix now? What did they do wrong? Why weren't they paying attention to something?
They weren't streaming, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, well, a couple of points, Joe. One is, yes, one person could certainly be a pivot point. I'm that pivot point in a lot of organizations and my clients when I come in because I challenge the current state of thinking and I create a greater sense of awareness and collective consciousness, teamwork and energy, and then that flows. So by all means, I think it's important to recognize that we can make a difference. And we can influence masses of people. So, by all means, that's absolutely critical.
John, we're out of time, my friend. I want to thank you for being on the program. Thanks for staying up so late out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. The book, of course, Miracle-Minded Manager. And tell folks about your website real quickly. How do they find
you? Sure. Thank you so much, George. What a great night. My website's johnjmurphy.org. And on that site, you can see my body of work. You can see, I've the 20 books I've now written, I think 16 or 17 are still in print.
Good for you.
So people can get access to those. They can see some video clips. They can also click on my YouTube channel, which is linked to that site. And I've got over 200 little short 3 to 5 minute self-help type videos.
Super. John, thank you again for being on the program. John Murphy, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.